Good morning. God bless you. It's so good to be here, especially when we can say, turn in your Bibles to Romans, the first chapter. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word, I'm going to read verse 8, and we're going to look at nearly all of Paul's letters in the New Testament. And we're going to make today, this being Thanksgiving week and me having gone through another ordeal with a heart attack and all that, a little bit personal from me to God and to this church. And I will title this message, I Am Thankful. Romans 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Father, magnify, amplify, glorify what we do here today, for we do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Thanksgiving week. Normally, the Monday of Thanksgiving week. Aw. My granddaughter come up and give me a hug. And another one. We have these old costume jewelry that we have in the house in their little play area. And some former members of this church gave me a little Coca-Cola, like little lunch pails. And we put their treasure in it. And, of course, then they're fighting over their treasure and all that. And Vera comes up to me and she says, well, I want my treasure. I said, well, you are my treasure. Yeah. Then she said, I'm going to marry Papaw. Well, there's a lot to be thankful for. Even though we don't have our normal Monday dinner, and people around this country are saying you're not even supposed to have Thanksgiving at all. And I don't want to get into all of that and say, do I think it's an oversimplification or over-amplification, or we're not doing enough. I'm not interested in that right now. What I'm interested in is talking about the fact that there's always something to be thankful for. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18, it says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. We can always be giving thanks for the Lord. But I wanted to do something specific today and tell you that I am personally thankful for this church. And Paul was thankful for the churches he ministered to and the people he ministered with, and he let them know it. You see this all throughout the New Testament. We just gave you an example from Romans 1, 8 here. And as I look at these places where Paul told people how and why he was thankful to God and thankful for them, I see many of the same reasons why I am thankful for you. So let's take a trip to the New Testament and let me say my personal thanks to God and to you, this church. Reading again from Romans 1, verse 8, he says, first, see, this is important to Paul, and he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. I am thankful for the consistent testimony of this church and its amazing witness. Last week, on Sunday, I was finishing up the move of our parents, my parents, to our new house. As they are in their last season, their twilight years, and we wanted to bring them closer to us and all that. It could be another 100 years. Point is, you got 21 years on me, and I'm heading that way too. The point is that we were in the hospital now. And now all the fretting that I had done that might have led to my heart attack and overexerting myself and all that was made manifest because I'm lying there. And I'm thinking, now how are we going to get it done? We've only got this roll off for a few days. We've got this U-Haul right now. All of these other things. And lo and behold, 7 people traveled 150 miles, 2.5 hours to come load that, clean the rest of it up, fill that roll off, drive that U-Haul back where there were another 10 people at our home to unload and set up my mom and dad's bed and such like that. And that excited me. First of all, it gave me comfort because, like, whoo, they got it done. And, you know, people tell you all the time. They say, you know, it's not just on you. Let other people handle it. And then you think, yes, but they won't do it the way I want to. Et cetera, et cetera. But then sometimes God says, so what? Right? We need to see this. And what happened is I wound up having a Holy Ghost hoedown with a couple of the ladies that worked there. And when they heard of the testimony of what was going on, that church must love you because they must love God. And she was talking about her mom calling him Lucifoot. You know, said that Lucifoot meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. Lucifoot was saying all these things, but he's got to go. He can't stay here. And I said, amen. And we just, it was really good, and it was a consistent witness. And then, you know, of course, then she told somebody, and then I told somebody. And soon enough, people were thinking, what is this church? On the other side of the state, that they would leave off after they left church and then leave and go, I couldn't give them any thanks. I was laid up. You can't come see me. Right? They don't let anybody in. But I thank God that things like this have happened. There's people, you know, that we're praying for and that are in jail and other things. And we don't know them. We've never seen them, but we know them. And we give to these missionaries. We do these things. And people know. They say it about our church. Did you know that? You heard our friend Glenn Shepherd say, this little church, it was the first one back. You know, he's all over the world and everything now. The first one I wanted to come back to was here. Because over the years, this little church has proven itself to be a great big church. And I've told you many times, I'm not concerned as much about the number of people as the quality of the people. And the quality of the people in this church, because of what God is doing, I can thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's doing, because people know about it literally all over the world. All over the world. In India, they know it. In Honduras, they know it. In Nepal, they know it. In Thailand, they know it. They know literally about this church. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that, that Paul would say this, and that gives me license, I believe, to say it about you because it is true. Now I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. Because Paul just didn't let off. He kept doing it wherever he was. Now, you remember the Corinthian church had all kind of trouble. But Paul, right up front here, in verse 4, he says, I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. That in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you're not lacking in any gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called. God chose you, by whom you were called, into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I am thankful that you are in the forever family. I see this over and over again. I see pieces being added and other people going and doing their business in other parts. And I know that they came from here or they come back to here. They're part of this forever family. My family has stood strong and you are my family. And we are each other's family. Mishpoha. That's the Hebrew. It's family. We're part of the Mishmaha. We're part of the family of God. And I am thankful. And we could go on and on, but let's go on to 2 Corinthians. Now, here is something that's incredible to me. And he is giving thanks for Titus, but he's giving thanks to God. This is all because of God. We read that in 1 Corinthians. It's because God has put you in the faithful covenant. God has done these things. And there's something big about that that I want to get to at the end. I am thankful today. 8:16. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 16. But thanks be to God who put into the heart. You know, you might not be able to give a thanks for a whole lot this week. You can't have Thanksgiving. You can't do this. You ain't got enough money for turkey. Come talk to us anyway. Whatever else it is. But you give thanks to God for this church. For God to make the church universal. And the church local. And this church specific. He says, but thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you. When someone's on the same page as you and you know they care about something just as much as you care about, doesn't that give you encouragement? Doesn't that give you strength? I'm thankful for our other elders, for our other pastors and teachers and all the humble folks here that are ministering to all of us. I'm thankful for all the giving hearts that are so manifest here. My parents now live here. And earlier, when I first got here, 16 going on 17 years ago, they were here several times a year. They say, you know, this is a good church. They love you. They love God. This is good. But then they started coming a little bit less because they were not as ambulatory or whatever, you know. And now, though, they're here and they're saying, how incredible that was. We had moved from another side of the state. You were still in that side of the state. And all these people. And then this whole week, people bringing meals and giving prayers and giving haircuts and taking out our trash and just getting used to us and showing their love, bringing us flowers. The giving hearts of this church are so manifest here, and God did that. To know that others have the same sincere care as you do is a constant source of strength and encouragement. It's a constant source of strength and encouragement. And you see all these gifts happening and the way people use them. And it does matter to God and it does matter to you. And Paul was saying so here. In 1 Corinthians, he talked about the fact that you're behind in no gift. Not everybody's got everything, but together we come to know that mystery, which is Christ, and to see him in his fullness in the church. Yes, you need church. Of course you do. If you want to really see Jesus. You see him in his word, but you see him manifest here. I see him manifest among us because there are people that have the same heart for Jesus and for God and for God's people right here. And I've seen us grow in these things. And for that, I am thankful. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians and the first chapter. Are you with me? Are you thankful? Amen. And look at verse 16. Ephesians 1:16, Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you. Think about it now. You're thinking, well, he's saying the same thing over and over again. No. Notice all the subtleties. I thank you for all of you. I thank you consistently. I thank you. Thank God for you always. Another place he says night and day. And he was dealing with a lot of stuff. But he knew where his bread was buttered. Not the church itself, but God through the church, living in people, moving them, motivating them, ministering to them, to each other. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God, and what is this prayer? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, your God's inheritance. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, the same might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I am thankful that I can pray. That I know you, I know your situation, and I can pray for your spiritual power and your wisdom. And I can pray that you would see Jesus clearly in all your life and the hope that you have in heaven and the help you have right now in the church. And I do pray that for you, that you see Jesus in all your life, that you begin to see him in all these things and your heart would begin to know him in these things. And that people that are here sometimes or not here or they just started coming or they've been here a long time, that they would continue and continue to know, to experience this power of the Holy Spirit to reveal things and to reveal God's plan for the church, which is you. I'm so very thankful that I can do that. I'm so very thankful that I have the Word of God, that I have this specific text, that I can pray for you. And Paul says I'm praying it all the time. Think about that now. Look at the words that he's using here in this text and realize he's always praying that they would have this experience because it never ends. And I can prove it to you just like that. As soon as one more comes and they're plugged in, there's more. Then another, there's more. Amen. So I do want to see people come to the Lord and get turned on and not act like they're on the fence, but act like they're on fire. And that's what Paul's saying. I want them to be turned on. They would see Jesus so clearly that they would know this hope. They would know these riches, and they would know that you can find fullness. You can be full of the Spirit with the people of God in the house of God, reading the Word of God. I'm thankful for that. Let's turn to the book of Philippians. I'm having a good time. I'm thankful that I get to preach in this church to all of you people, and you online, and you that hear it later on sermon audio or wherever you come across this. I am thankful. Philippians. We'll get to 1 Thessalonians. Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all. Yes, you that I didn't mention by name. Yes, you think I don't see you in the back row or the front row or the middle row, or you're not in a row and you're at home and I can't possibly know. I'm just so fooled to believe that I can. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am thankful for the joy I have in my prayers, knowing that we are partners in the gospel together. Some of you have been with me here from the start. You were here before I got here, and you might be here long after I'm gone. But even through all the ups and downs and all around, through a stroke, two heart attacks, church additions, church loss, COVID, you don't like me, I don't like you, we like each other, you leave, you come back, and you don't ever come back, and you're part of the fringe, or this, that, and the other thing, and well, half your family goes, half your family doesn't. Through all of this, I am having joy because we are partners in the thing that matters most, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for that. Aren't you thankful we're partners together? I like Team Riverside, man. I do. What kind of church do you like? This kind. Yeah. I know you get used to, you know, your mom's cooking and things like that. But there's always a Charlotte out there. They can make things you realize, I didn't know it could be like this. We had some wonderful friends bring over some food yesterday, and lo and behold, the Brussels sprouts went bad. And I was glad, and she was like, I know you're so upset. But here's the thing. Although my parents like broccoli and Brussels sprouts and beets, and what happened to me? Well, you know, I was a rebel. The point is they brought squash. And my mom goes, I've never actually had squash. And she loved it. There's always new people. Even in the smallest of churches or the biggest of churches, there's always new people, new hearts that connect. And we can be thankful that we're partners. You know, we're right here and we're partners. Right? I've known you for a few months and you came down for one reason, but then those reasons went away. But now you're here and we're partners. Right? You came in with your partner. Now that partner is with Jesus and we're partners. And your partner, I've never met. But we're partners. With you, with him, with God, right? I don't know if you live in Texas or you live here, but we're partners. I can't tell if you're an absolute genius or you're just hiding something. But we're partners. We're partners. We're partners. I only see some of your family some of the time, but we're partners. We're partners. I see people change. We're partners. I have some of the very same experiences, and that makes us partners. In some experiences, I got no clue. And we're partners. And we're praying. And we have business. And we have other things going on. And we're partners. Right? And we have new families. And they're brought together. And we see these things. And we are partners. It's the gospel working amongst God's people. And it finds a place. And sometimes other people bring us here. And they go do their thing. But we get planted here. Because we're partners. We're partners. And sometimes it don't feel that way. You think, if they were partners, you know, gridlock is good. Because if everybody agreed with everything, everything would just get through and then we might make a mistake. But if people say, wait a minute, let me think about this. Wait a minute, let me think about that. Then we all have to get on the same page and then we find that mystery together. When the Bible talks about being knit together in love, think about some yarn. And if that yarn could talk, it would go, ooh, ow, ee, ooh, ah, because you're stretching it, you're pulling it, you're doing whatever. But unless you have that knitting together, you don't have a, you just have a bunch of yarn. Only a cat can play with the yarn. I mean, you know, it doesn't do any good for the rest of us. But if you're going to make that rainbow-colored quilt that my granddaughter wants so badly, Mom, you'll have to take the time to get the fabric, to put it on the needle, to mix it together. And it takes time and it takes effort, but it is worth it because we are knit together in love. And this is what I see in this church. And this is what I'm thankful for about this church is I see it over and over and over again proving itself that God is here amongst us. Let's turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians. See, all over the New Testament, Paul is thankful. Colossians 1, again, right at the front in verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ of Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. I'm thankful that there are people that no longer come to this church that feel like they can't talk to me, or I feel like I can't talk to them, but you still talk to them. I know you're watching. I know sometimes it looks like I'm just wearing the black hat and that's all there is. Sometimes I look at the white hat and there's... I can't wear a black hat, but that's Paul, you know? That's my boy. But sometimes it's just like, you know, people got to do their own thing, and I get that. And sometimes God orchestrates that because he's got something else for him or whatever, or maybe not. But the point is I'm thankful that this church doesn't give up on people. And, you know, even if I do or you do or something, there'll be somebody else. My mother even does that. When's the last time you talked to this person or that person? Or people say, what about those people a few years ago that had the four children? What about this? What about that? And this church cares for you. The people care for you. And we love you whether or not you love Jesus. But if you love Jesus, then we have got the same heart. And I'm thankful that people in this church know that. I'm very thankful for that. And sometimes we see incredible, sweet reconciliation, do we not? And it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. And I'm thankful for it. Let's turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And chapter 1. We'll read verses 2 through 4. We give thanks. Now he's talking about Paul and Silas and Timothy. He says, we give thanks to God always for all of you. Constantly mentioning you in our prayers. Remembering. Before God, our Father, your work of faith, labor of love, and steadfast hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. I'm thankful. And it's the right thing to do. Because you have steadfast hope in Jesus. I've seen it over and over and over again. And I'm thankful that God chose you to be saved, to be part of our community. I'm so very thankful that. You know what I'm looking out at right now? I'm looking at a bunch of saved people. And one day we'll be in heaven, and we're not going to be thinking about all the bad times. I don't even think we're going to be thinking about all the good times. We're just going to be in the good times, and that'll be it. And God's still working on me. And I know he's working on you, and I see it. And that's what Paul begins to say here in Thessalonians. He goes, I've seen God work in you. I've seen where things have been bad, but you followed my example, and hallelujah for that. We've seen people go through some terrible ordeals and ongoing things and things that have not gone away. And we keep praying. You know, you pray, please, Lord, help us to pray it away. And it don't go away. Whatever situation it may be. And yet we have a steadfast hope in Jesus. Have we not seen that? We have people in this congregation that are sitting here right now. They're in constant pain. And they've forgotten long ago, why, how come God hasn't done anything? They say, well, I still want to worship God no matter what. And that's a credible witness. That's what Paul was saying. That's what I'm telling you. It ministers to me. Because when I see people hurt and I can't seem to do anything about it, my faith gets shaken. Like, if I was a better guy, then maybe God would heal them. But I know better than that. And I know that God shines his light in the very darkest of places. And he allows us to get to a dark place so that the light would shine through so that other people that are in the dark can see where the light really is. Because they can take away everything, but they can't take away Jesus. They can take away your mind, but they can't take away your Jesus. And I see His light shining through you, and I am thankful for that. I am thankful. I know that God has chosen you. And for that, I am thankful. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1. And verse 3. Paul says, we ought always to give thanks to you, God, to God for you, brothers, as is right. See the double there? We ought always, because it's right. Because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions you are enduring. I am thankful. I have a better voice than that guy. And for that, I am thankful. But I am thankful. It's the right thing to do because I see an increase in your faith in God and for your love in one another. I see it. And I'm thankful that I can have a godly pride in you. When people were at the hospital going, what manner of church is this? I said, it's the kind of church that God builds. And I had a godly pride in it. And then they didn't ask, how many people have you got? They said, wow, what kind of people you have. Amen. And it's even more so when it's a smaller group, because then it's like, you know, you get 1,000 people, of course you're going to find a few people that'll do something. When you got 100 people and 20% of them get out to help one person. Think about it. People can see how well you suffer, giving glory to God even when things are bad. If you think that's not a witness, you're missing the point of the New Testament. And being like Jesus. Being like Jesus doesn't mean I'm going to walk on water. Being like Jesus means when God has me drowning, I'm still praising His name with my last breath. What's in your heart? That's meat. And we need it. And I see it. Don't run from it. Embrace it. It shows Jesus so incredibly, and I see it over and over and over again. Of course I was going to be back in this pulpit the soonest chance I got. Of course I was going to give God all the praise and not worry about talking about all these other things. Why? Because He's the one that matters. He's the one that's doing things. I need to show you that when I fall off the horse, I'm going to get right back on, because that's what I want you to do, because that's what God wants us to do, and that's what He gives us the power to do. And when He does it and He takes us home, that's fine too. I know it's not the moniker that most churches would want. Discover the champion in you. How about the church that suffers well? You got to have a different kind of mindset for that, don't you? Because immediately you start asking, well, that means we're going to have... All those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution or whatever else. And sometimes that persecution is because you're suffering. They think you ought not to be suffering, so they persecute you because of that. And that's people in the church. But let me say something. By God's grace and mercy, not this church. Not this church. We got a bunch of ragtags here. I love it. Not one white person, one black person, one woman, one Korean, one tall, one short, and all that. It can be like that, but it doesn't have to be like that. It's doing great, not doing great. Looking good, not looking so good. Hard times, wonderful times. Laugh with those that are laughing. Weep with those that are weeping. People can fake that. But if it's not faking that, that's a real church. And that's what Paul was doing. Consider again the Corinthians. They had all kinds of problems. And he goes, I thank God. Because you got all you need. And you'll discover it together. And that's what he keeps saying. I am thankful for this church. Riverside Christian Fellowship and its people and its associated families and people and the people that are watching and the church in general, yes, but for you. Yes, you. Specifically. You. Specifically. Specifically. You know, Paul did kind of go off at the end of Romans 16, starts naming all kind of people. And what's that for? Because he had to do it at least once, because people say, well, he's just being general. And I say, I mean you specifically. If you think that I don't pray for you specifically, you're off your rocker. Because I do. Because I care. Because God has made it the privilege, honor, and joy of my life to be your pastor. And I don't take that lightly. And no heart attack's going to stop me from praising God for you. And he gave me new reasons. I could feel self-pity. Been doing all this walking, lost all this weight. I take off for about a month, and then I have another heart attack worse than the other one, massive. Am I going to do that, or I'm going to say, praise God, look at how this shows the church. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I ought to do. Paul says it's right for me to do this. And so do I. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Lest we get a big head, remember, we thank God through Jesus Christ because he's the one that works it. We know that salvation is still happening in the world. We know it because we know it right here in Citrus County, right here in this church. If all the rest of the world says, no, down, dark, no, can't have Thanksgiving, can't sing out loud in church, God is dead, people don't change. We know that he does. We know that there is, and we know that he will because he's doing it right here. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. I thank God whom I served, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you. He's talking about Timothy personally, constantly in my prayers, night and day. Our associate pastor had to go to his other job just now, but I pray for him every single day, night and day. And I do pray for you too. And I am so thankful that I can have a clear conscience when I pray for you. I can say that I love you and I know that I mean it, whether or not I show it in some ridiculous way that doesn't seem right. Or you don't think so. I promise you I do. And I have a clear conscience and I am so thankful to God that I can have a clear conscience in praying for the people of this church. And I always have. And by God's mercy and grace, I always will. Turn to the book of Philemon. Philemon. And the first chapter. Let me read verses 4 through 7. There's only one chapter. I thank my God always when I remember you, another individual, in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effectual for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the heart of the saints has been refreshed through you. I'm thankful because your love for others brings me joy and comfort. When I see people going out there, we weren't asking them even to. We weren't paying them even to. And they were going out there on their own, talking to other people that haven't been there because of COVID or whatever. They didn't complain, well, you know, we got to do this because pastor just won't do this. Or we got to do this because someone's got to do this. I can't believe no one's doing this. They did it because of their heart. Because they wanted to. And other people sometimes can pull away and lose that connection. When you lose connection, you lose power. And yet people brought the power to other people. And that brings me joy and comfort. To know that I may help shepherd the church. I may try to model and lead the church. But you're the church. You're the living stones. You're the ones that are doing the ministry. And by God's grace, I know that I've done my job well when I see that happen. And it's not just me doing my job well. It's God's grace that's in you. That's what's going on. I just get to ride the wave a little bit. He sets up the wave, puts me on the surfboard, puts the wax on, puts me around, makes sure I don't eat the skeg. Right? He's the one that's doing that. Soul surfer, baby. And I see people doing these incredible things without me giving them a push. It's God's unction on them. That's called the anointing, my friends. That's what's going on. And I am thankful for it. Now let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to say, like the Apostle Paul, I thank God who has given me strength. And he says, I thank him, meaning Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. I am thankful that God made me a pastor. But it's more than that. I am thankful that God saw fit to allow me the privilege of being the pastor of this incredible, loving, giving, supportive, helping, hopeful, missions-minded, disciple-making, God-glorifying church. You know, you're going to see something a lot in the world, and I want you to start looking out for it. Not to be cynical, but to understand God's reality. You'll see even people talk in Christian on the Christian Post or, you know, Bible this or Bible that, wherever it may be. They're supposedly Christian. I'm not saying they're not. But people will say things like, well, this, that, and the other thing. Someone else will come on and say, well, this, that, and the other thing. People don't change. Many people say, once this, always this. Or they'll say that about one thing. Well, you know, these people can be reformed. These people can be redeemed, but not this. I've never seen anybody. Well, I feel sorry for you because I am thankful that I've seen it all. Not every single person, but every type of sin, every type of situation be redeemed. Yes, murderers. Yes, rape. Yes, anything. But people say, once this, always this. Like, once an addict, always an addict. Once a cheater, always a cheater. Et cetera, et cetera. Once whatever, always whatever. You'll see it. People don't change. That's what people say. They say, people don't change. But I'm here to say that God is real. And people do change when God changes them. I've seen it at this church, and I am one of those people. And for that, I am thankful. Father, we are so very thankful. We can rejoice always and pray for our folks and for others and know that we can give thanks for you, for what you're doing. And for that, we are truly thankful. Lord, as we go through this week, as we go through this season, the rest of our lives, before you come back, even so come, Lord Jesus. But we know that you're still on the throne. You're still saving souls, strengthening saints, redeeming sinners, sending us out to live in the world as lights, as a reflection of your and a radiance of your glorious light. We don't have to feel guilty about not feeling thankful for this, that, and the other thing. We can be thankful for you and what you're doing in the world because we're part of it. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.